I just wanted to add in one more voice clip because I'm not at my podcasting stuff right now. It's late at night. I'm laying in my bed and I was scrolling Instagram through reels, and I landed on this one clip of an older couple, and the woman was painting, and the other man was standing behind her just looking at whatever she was painting in awe. And he said something like, "That's incredible, God Almighty," and just was looking at her, and I just started bawling at this clip because I know what that feels like to be that witnessed and that appreciated and to be seen for all of your creativity and your art and have that be something that someone loves about you as much as they love all the other parts about you. But for me especially, I know that it feels so affirming to have someone find wonder and magic in the things that I create. And it reminded me of my relationship, and I think that's why I just started crying out of nowhere and then had the idea to just record this, because this feels important, that I couldn't have ever gotten this kind of relationship, this kind of love, if I didn't take a chance on myself, if I didn't believe that this existed, if I didn't ever want more for myself, if I didn't ever take a chance on that feeling that I felt inside, that I wasn't where I was supposed to be, that I knew there was something else out there that led me to the person I am with now. And it's just so beautiful. And at times I can't even believe that it's real. And it makes me appreciate this whole journey, everything that I've had to go through. Even before the marriage, every hard moment, especially the moments where I just felt completely lost and not worth shit, and all the moments that I cried in that marriage, all the moments where I was in bed next to this person that I was married to and I was crying myself to sleep, and I was crying in showers and I was crying in cars, and I thought I was going crazy. And that whole time, I just wanted to be loved, and I wanted to be held, and I wanted to be known, and I wanted to be seen for who I am, and I wanted to feel safe. And when I left, I gave myself that gift, and I took my time to heal before I ever was even thinking about getting back out in the dating world and trying that, because that was something that was completely new territory for me. But then I was thinking about the person I'm with now and how that happened, and I was thinking about our first date and how I wish I could be a fly on the wall now to go back to that moment knowing what I know now of what was coming and how beautiful everything has been. And that's why I did this whole episode, because I know there's so many people out there like me that I was. Not just women, but I mean people in general. And it's hard. It might be the hardest thing you ever do. Leaving something that is that known that is that comfortable because it is known in favor of a future that you don't know. That you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's coming. But I tell this story because I never stopped believing. I never stopped believing that there was more out there, that more was possible. And that this kind of love, the kind of love that you really only hear about in stories and in movies and kind of made up stuff, that it exists. And that you can have it. So if there's nothing else you take away from this, just know that. That if you take a chance on yourself and you believe in yourself and you want more for yourself, that it is out there. And I know, because I found it.
You're listening to Ink Speak, where storytelling and poetry meet the wonder and magic of living. I'm your captain, author, poet, and unearther of life, Maverick Malone.
Welcome back to the podcast. There was a reason that I put that last audio clip first, because I actually recorded that clip from my bed one night, just completely feeling my feelings. Like, everything you heard in my voice was real. I was crying. I was feeling my feels. And I wanted to put that first because I know some of you guys might not make it through this whole episode. It's a long episode. But I felt like of everything that I said, that was just so raw and real and authentic. And I wanted to make sure that whoever clicked on this episode heard that clip. So I put it first. If you want to hear the poem, because there's always a poem, there's always something, you know, poetic going on here. That's going to be at the very end. So if you make it all the way to the end of this episode, we'll have the poem at the end. But I wanted to make sure that that clip was front and center, because that's why, you know, it's just magic. And you'll hear a lot of my reasoning for how I got there if you listen through this whole thing. But, you know, we're glad to have you here. Today's episode is the season one finale. So the last episode of season one of Ink Speak before I take a break, and I'll return sometime in August or September. And I just want to say before I get into this very lengthy episode that I am so grateful for everyone listening right now, everyone that's been with me on this since my very first episode I recorded from inside a closet, everyone that has left a rating or review or voted on my story polls about episodes and fielding for feedback and comments, and for being here. If you haven't ever left me a rating or review, either on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, since those are basically the two main platforms, then please consider doing that. It takes no time at all to click a star on Spotify, and those really do help me to be found, because it takes a lot of time not only to make a podcast and show up, but to stick with it, even when you feel like no one's listening, like maybe especially when you feel like no one's listening, and it takes community. If you've enjoyed any number of these episodes, sharing on social media or telling your friends and family about it, spreading the word, that's a great way to share and help me build my dream, and also helping build this community. Because I'm not doing any of this for fame or fortune, far from it. I do it for the fulfillment, because I simply feel called to, and with the intention of helping others through the power of story by sharing my experiences, reaching others, making connections. Because that makes me feel good and gives my journey that much more passion and purpose. So a very big heartfelt thank you on that. And while I will be taking a break over the summer, feel free to follow me on Instagram at Mav Malone, where I will still be active on stories, sharing my very wild outfits. I just got a sequin jacket yesterday that I am totally in love with. And at first I was like, should I really be buying this? Do I need to spend money on this? And as soon as I tried it on, yes, I needed that in my closet. And if you go to Tuesday Open Mic Nights, you'd probably know the jacket I'm talking about. But you can follow me on Instagram for things like that and my travel adventures, being creative. And I also have a broadcast channel on Instagram that you can join, where I sometimes give away free coffee and share other nonsense and things that just aren't posted directly onto Instagram. So it's kind of like a smaller VIP community. But okay, enough housekeeping, because this episode is going to be a doozy. So buckle up, Buttercup. If you haven't listened to my first episode on divorce, I would urge you to go back and listen to that one first because it's really going to give you some backstory of this one. It's episode 3 called Dearly Beloved from May of 2023 if you want to check it out. But if you're just now finding me and clicked on this specific episode, it was probably for a reason. Maybe you are struggling with the idea of divorce or contemplating it, or maybe you have been for some time, or maybe your dating life feels like it's just in shambles and you want to hear something encouraging for a shot of hope, or maybe you're just curious what my experience was with all of this. So in any event, it's been a year since I really last talked about this, and I'm over 2 years divorced now and in an incredibly loving relationship. And it's just been something that has been so forefront of my mind that it seemed like, yeah, this is probably the right time to jump on the mic and start talking about this. And as I was working up on this episode, I realized I had a lot to say about it. This episode is a lot longer than I initially thought it would be. And I hope that you stick around till the very end because I think there's some valuable storytelling in here. There's some valuable, hopefully, advice in here. And I hope that somebody out there gets something out of this. And not only that, but for this to also be a kind of cliffhanger, a good place to end season one with a big shot of hope for whoever finds me next. So I'm glad to have you here in my space, and I hope that you can find something useful or insightful for you in this episode. So let's get into it. I still feel like even in 2024, divorce carries this kind of negative connotation, a stigma. And for many people, it's still very much taboo. We're scared because it closes one door, but it opens like 12 others because we're so hyper-focused on this one door closing, this one chapter that we've invested so much of our life and time and energy into that we don't even notice the other paths now available to us because we're too scared to even try. And I want this episode to be a light for people and just talk about what comes after and what is even possible because people don't talk about that enough. What happens after you leave a marriage that you've invested majority of your life into? And it's hard. The older you get, the more time you invest, you know, you have a family, you have years together. This person becomes all you know. And that is where the danger is. This person becomes all you know. Do you know yourself? Can you honestly say that you know yourself? Are you staying in the marriage because you don't want to be alone like I did? Or are you staying in the marriage for whatever reason? And I just want to find the right words and talk about how my concept of the idea has changed and how me leaving opened doors for me and what I now define as love and what I found after and how we need mature relationships and emotionally safe relationships and the alternatives to marriage. Why I don't think people should cohabitate until they have lived on their own, until they know their self, and all of these other concepts, but mostly to offer some modicum of hope and light, because for me, I needed people in my life at that time to not tell me what to do. I didn't have anybody telling me like, hey, this is what you should do. Because if someone is telling you what to do, that's not what you need to hear. Same with all of this. If none of this resonates with you, don't fucking listen to me then. But you should at least hear the other side of the coin though and consider all perspectives. And you have to come to that conclusion on your own. It has to come from you, through you. Only you can make that decision. I'm just here to tell you about what my personal experiences were and how I completely transformed my life. And to be an example that is also possible for you if and only if that's what you want. But that is the thing. And that is the whole message of this episode is what I'm thinking of that meme with Ryan Gosling from The Notebook where he's asking Allie, what do you want? What do you want? Like that. That is a question you have to ask yourself. And that is a monumental question. That is a big ask. What do you want? And I think for so many of us, we don't know because we have all of this other noise. You know, you've heard about me talk about this on other episodes, all of this other noise from the outside world telling us what we should want, what we should expect. This is what society expects. This is what your religion expects. This is what your parents expect. Or we learn that from our parents, what marriage looks like. And maybe they got divorced and therefore it's like not even on the table for us at all because of whatever we associate with that. But maybe we just need to look at it through a different lens. Because I see divorce as a success story. I think it's just been part of my story. I think it's kind of always been a part of my destiny. The longer I go along on this journey, because I couldn't have gotten here without having those experiences, learning what I learned in the marriage that brought me so many lessons that are so invaluable, so priceless, and could have only gained that strength from making the decision to leave. Because that said to myself, I choose myself. I will no longer martyr my happiness and my love and my desires. I will no longer martyr myself and exemplify that for my daughter and continue this pattern of just completely forgetting ourselves and abandoning ourselves for this. We have to choose ourselves. And sometimes people can do that. Some people can learn to do that within their marriage. And some people, their whole lesson is just to learn to stand up for themselves and find what they want and to know when something just isn't going to work, no matter how hard you try, that sometimes the lesson is just leaving, and that is okay. And that's what I needed to hear back then. It's okay if that is what your path is. Nobody's path is going to be the same as anyone else's. And I think that can be a beautiful thing. I think divorce can be a beautiful thing. You just have to be willing to look at it from a different perspective. Having been through what I've been through and knowing what the divorce statistics are, the median age for divorce is 30 for men, 29 for women, and that the average time for a marriage before filing for divorce is 7 years. So that means people are getting married young, early in their 20s, and for older generations, I'm betting it was even younger. But my personal opinion, having experienced this firsthand, is that people shouldn't get married until you know who you are. You honest to God know who you are, and that typically doesn't happen early in life because you have so much life still to live. So until you have sorted through your own trauma, until you know how to emotionally regulate yourself, until you know about healthy and honest, open communication, and you know your needs, wants, desires, what your personal definition of love is, that's a big one, what you need in a relationship to feel safe, and I'm talking about feeling emotionally safe, to be vulnerable and fully express yourself, until you love and accept your body, and it's okay to still want to change things. That's going to be in a future episode. Until you're no longer codependent or a chronic people pleaser. Hello, that was me. Until you've reclaimed your own voice, your body, your pleasure. Until you've learned how to set firm boundaries and say no. Until you know what your own personal beliefs are. Beyond outside influence from your family, religion, society, whatever. It's my opinion, you shouldn't get married. It's also my opinion that if you've never lived by yourself before, for however brief that may be, I don't think you should get married. I knew none of this when I got married. I just felt like it was the next logical step and bypassed my soul entirely. I think so many marriages end in divorce because we get married too soon, because we don't know who we are before we do. And a big part of this is because we just feel pressure or expectation to adhere to a supposed timeline, or we feel our body clock ticking, maybe even before we really know whether or not a baby is even right for us, but we feel pressure. And so we find someone to hold on to, or the someone from high school, or the someone from college, or to the one who checks most of those boxes. And then so many of us end up settling, or we just get stuck and we relent and accept, hey, I guess this is just the way it is. And look, I'm not naive. No one person can be everything to their partner. No one person can check every box because perfection does not exist. But what I am saying is that I think many of us enter into marriage without a clear idea of what those boxes even are for us or which ones truly matter. We read off our wish list for a partner like a grocery list of attributes like height, body type, hair color, job type, salary. And I say this because I have friends that have expressed this to me in the past, that what they were looking for most in a man was someone who made a specific dollar amount rather than the attributes that truly matter. The questions that we should be asking ourselves, like what are their values and beliefs? Are they emotionally safe? How do they handle conflict and approach communication? Have they been to therapy and dealt with their own trauma? Do they have their own sense of independence and know how to make space for that in a partner? What is their attachment style? That's a huge one. What is your attachment style? It's my opinion that we should only enter into marriage at a point where we no longer project our shit onto others, where we take accountability for our own individual self, our own feelings and emotions, and we know how to set firm boundaries when we have our own lives beyond this person. On the path to learning who we are and committed to our growth and self-awareness, I think that's the biggest thing. Like if I had to say, what's the one thing you need before you choose marriage? It's self-awareness, 100%. Know your trauma. Know your passions and interests. Know your attachment style. Can you recognize what feels true for you in your body? Do you know how to choose healthy coping mechanisms for conflict and challenges? Oh, and here's a really big one. What are your triggers? How do you handle your triggers? Do you know what to do when you are triggered so you're not just projecting and throwing all of that onto somebody else, especially your partner? What do you need to feel safe and loved? What is your love language? All of that encompasses being self-aware. And I don't know many people in their early 20s that have a strong foundation of that. At least I didn't. All of that came later because this unfortunately isn't something they teach you in school, like emotional intelligence and things like this. I'm so grateful for the internet and platforms like podcasting that expose us to these things so we can delve into personal growth. And most definitely thankful for therapy and books on the topic so we can become self-aware on our own and keep learning on our own. And maybe one day that's the hope, that they'll teach this stuff in schools, because this is actually the shit we need to know to be healthy humans in healthy relationships. Probably why a lot of people end up in therapy, because many of us grew up with zero emotional intelligence or how to emotionally regulate, or what that even is, what that looks like. I didn't know about nervous system dysregulation or dissociation, that's what I was doing, that's what was happening, until my early 30s when I started therapy and chiropractic care. Stuff like this would have been priceless to me early on and would have served me in a much greater capacity than fucking, I don't know, like geometry and chemistry. These are not typically questions we're asking ourselves in our 20s, though. When we meet someone, we get giddy and excited at the idea of marriage because of the way it has been portrayed. And not only that, but we don't know what we don't know, because you're not typically deep diving into your subconscious and looking at your trauma through a magnifying glass in your 20s, right? Most people are, you know, we're out partying, making mistakes, having adventures, and just living. That's how we get to those lessons and the fuck ups that we have to look at later on. At least I know that's how it went for me at moments. I had a hell of a lot of mistakes to make first and growing up to do before I knew what I really wanted out of life. And I'm still figuring that out and discovering more of who I am. And that's the beautiful part here. You deserve someone who is going to grow with you as you discover more of yourself in all your versions, who wants more for you because you want more for you. Someone whose wins are your wins and your joy is their joy, who will lean into all your self-discovery with you and support you on that journey because they understand its weight, because they are doing the same. You can't do the healing for both of you in the relationship. If that other person isn't doing the work to be better, to grow, point blank, it just isn't going to work out. Something is going to have to give in that relationship. Okay, enough of that soapbox, because I actually do want to share some of my personal story as to why I'm saying everything here that I'm saying. I met my ex at 19, and I was with him for the next almost 14 years. So until about age 32, 33, somewhere there on the cusp, after a whole series of events, I concluded I had to get divorced. That was a really hard realization to come to, and it took a lot of time. Like, obviously, this is not something anyone takes lightly. No one enters into a marriage thinking they will one day get divorced. But for many reasons, and like I said, if you want the backstory on the why and what led to all of that, how I even came to that conclusion, you can go back to that episode 3 that I mentioned and listen to that. But for me personally, divorce was the only path forward to my own happiness and well-being. That's the conclusion that I came to eventually. My Saturn return hit, and it hit hard. And not only that, it also hurt physically, mentally, emotionally. I ignored so much for so many years until I just couldn't anymore. And eventually I awakened to what my soul truly craved, to my truth and to who I was, or at least who I wanted to become. And most importantly, to what I needed in a relationship. So I got divorced, and let me tell you, that was a shock to so many people at the time, because we were this couple that by all outside appearances seemed happy, with happy in quotes. And like, we had it all, right? We were college sweethearts. We had good jobs. We bought a house together. We took vacations, and I posted pictures on my personal highlight reel. We checked off a lot of those boxes. We were good on paper and pretty in pictures, but we all know a picture is worth 1,000 words. I appeared happy about it, but inside, I was anything but. I was just distracting myself from the truth and lying to myself about it because I couldn't face the reality. It was too scary. The idea of leaving behind everything I had ever known, And unfortunately, I wasn't alone in those feelings. I think those kinds of feelings, the distracting ourselves from them, rather distracting ourselves like from the pain and the things we can't admit to ourselves, I think that's very common. And we paint a picture of being okay when we're anything but. Kelly Raspberry, who, if you listen to the Kid Craddock radio show, you know who that is. But she does this segment called Love Letters to Kelly, where she gives relationship advice on air to people who write in with their problems. It's kind of like an advice column. And when I was listening the other day, she said something that made me go, oh, yes, that. And I wrote it down because I wanted to mention it on here. She said, when referencing a letter about someone in an unhappy marriage, she said, some people just live in quiet misery. Just because you see somebody that's made it 30, 40, 50 years, don't be hashtagging marriage goals because they might be living in misery and you just don't know it. Misery loves company, right? Many of us, that old version of myself included, would rather be with someone but unhappy in a marriage than risk being alone. And when you add kids into the mix, or the fact that some people have been married for decades, or there's a financial component to it, it gets even harder to let go. Or, you know, considering like how deep your trauma might go, it could just be a completely tangled and enmeshed trauma bond. But the hardest thing you might ever have to do, if that's in the cards for you, but it's good. Like, if that's it, it's gonna be hard. But not only is it possible, if that's what your truth is, but it can be beautiful. It can be a blessing. It can be a phoenix moment, which is why I personally feel so passionate about telling this part of my story as many times as it takes, because I know there is someone out there listening to this who needs to hear stories like this of people, regardless of gender, who may feel hopeless or lost, confused and deeply unhappy, or just stuck, stagnant, fearful, anxious, who maybe on some level knows what they have to do, but because it's uncharted waters, because they can't see the bottom, because the negative, limiting or disempowering stories they may be telling themselves, or that the world is telling them about what it may mean if they do let go, they need to hear stories of people who have been there, who have dug themselves out of the hole and are now trying to help everyone else still stuck in that muck to get out one way or another. There was a time when I needed that. I desperately needed that, to hear from other people, women especially, who had been where I found myself at the time, drowning. I needed to hear divorce success stories because we don't hear about those nearly enough. I had such little faith in myself that I needed someone else, anyone, to tell me it was okay to leave my own marriage. I felt like I needed permission from someone else to file for divorce. I sought out books and podcasts. I talked to my friends. I combed Reddit threads so many times. I looked for stories about what happens after divorce. I think that's a major reason why Eat, Pray, Love and Untamed, why stories like this, books, were such wildly popular and impactful books, because they are empowering stories of women who turn their lives around. It gives people hope. It's another side of the coin, because everyone tells you not to get divorced. We hear so many things about how to save your marriage, how you should try absolutely everything to save it. Everyone encourages you to stay, or at least for me, it seemed like it, but no one presents you with the option of going, of saying, hey, it's okay to leave. It's okay if you want more for yourself. Some marriages simply cannot be saved, no matter how hard you try, and trying 1,000 things is by no means a requirement to even leave a marriage. I never did marriage counseling because I knew it was just past the point of no return, that it wasn't going to help, because by that point, I knew the only path forward for me was out. My heart left long before I could talk my mind into it. And if that's you, that's okay. It is okay to sit with that and admit that and just let that be there before even making a decision. You don't have to make any decisions. You can just sit with that. The what if game. Here we go again. What if? What does my life look like if I do this, if I leave? Inside for, God, I don't know, years maybe, if I'm being truly honest with myself, I felt so unfulfilled. I think as women especially, we know this feeling, this strange lingering sense of like, this isn't the way it was supposed to be. Something is missing. Because we are shown this idea of romance, of an epically great love. And before we know ourselves, before we know that kind of love within ourselves, we expect to magically find it in another person without doing any of the work. And that's just not how it works. I'm going to touch on this later because I still wholeheartedly not only believe in this kind of great love, but I now have it, which is what kind of has inspired me to do this whole episode and revisit this theme in the context of love and what makes a truly great relationship. But also, I just wanted to put this out there for anyone who's still struggling, being in a marriage or a relationship with just wanting more, with believing that love can be so much more than what you currently have, but being so terrified of leaving and fearful that you might not find it again. Of all of those questions we wrestle with, how do I start over? How do I even begin? Where do I begin? How do I know for sure if a divorce is right for me? How do I know? How can I have faith and believe that if I'm on my own, after however many years of being with this person, that I'm going to be okay on my own of starting over? And actually, I think this is why some people get married in the first place. We're so deeply afraid of being alone, and we're sold this idea, this one idea of marriage, building a family, is the cure-all for whatever holes we have within ourselves. We're imperfect beings, and we come here to learn a shit ton of lessons, and some of them are incredibly hard. We all have trauma and pain and things we're afraid of. We all have holes in the beginning, and we try to fill them to block our pain or distract ourselves from it in so many ways. For some people, it's sex or addiction, and others, it's shopping or social media, giving ourselves some form of dopamine hit over and over and over, pressing that lever again when the high wears off because we're afraid of what might happen if we stop. We don't like to feel uncomfortable. We feel that sense of something missing, and we chase happiness until something's got to give. And of course, that something is never another person. I mean, eventually, yes, absolutely. We want that soul-nourishing, emotionally safe, awe-inspiring, lightning-strike love. But it doesn't happen like that if you're at your own personal crossroads. If you're looking for love, it has to come from within first. I didn't feel that in my marriage because I hadn't yet found that in myself. Love at the level in which I desired could not happen until I made myself a priority. What began to give within my own relationship was my mental health. It had begun to deteriorate, and I was oscillating violently between debilitating anxiety and depression. I was crying in the shower. I was crying late at night in bed after my ex had fallen asleep. I was crying in the car. I was chronically, both mentally and physically, stressed. And I told no one because I couldn't look at myself. I couldn't admit that. I felt so much shame and guilt about wanting to leave him. And I was burdened by my own unacknowledged truth that I couldn't admit yet. The deep realization that I wasn't in love with him anymore. And the sad truth that maybe what I had wasn't even actually love. Or maybe it was a form of it at some point, but not the kind I desired. I was just scared to be alone and felt like no one else would ever love me because I lacked any kind of self-trust, compassion, and confidence. So what I had back then, I slapped a label on it and called it love and held on for dear life. Because I was getting older, and what if I never found anyone else? To have to start all over again when our lives are so entwined can feel so daunting. Staying, but being unfulfilled and unhappy, seemed safer, because at least it was known. And that relationship was not fulfilling, because I didn't know what I needed to even feel fulfilled. I'd never given myself that opportunity to just know myself. To stand on my own two feet, because all I'd ever known was codependency, needing someone else to feel safe, to feel worthy, to feel okay, to validate me. I got married too early because I thought that's just what you were supposed to do. Like you meet someone, you get married, you have a family, and somehow, happily ever after is supposed to fall into place. And that's the trap a lot of us fall into, because the other side of that story isn't told nearly enough. That alternatives exist. That motherhood isn't a cure-all, and that it isn't a guaranteed fulfillment for us, and that is totally okay not to be fulfilled by motherhood or marriage alone. That's going to be on an upcoming episode eventually. That there is no age limit for not only getting married, but also for divorce. You can start and end at any time and always find love again, but like I said, I don't recommend getting married until your 30s, but I also know this. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change a single thing. Why? Because it brought me gifts, especially my daughter as a catalyst for all of it, but also because then I wouldn't be here, hopefully reaching at least one person out there with pieces of my story, I wouldn't have learned the lessons I've learned and grown in the ways which I have grown. And I most certainly wouldn't be in the most incredible, wonderful, emotionally safe, and fulfilling relationship I have ever been in that I now find myself in, which is exactly why I say my marriage was not a failure. My destiny simply succeeded. I feel on some level, this was just my path. That in order for me to grow into the person I was destined to become in this life, in this incarnation, to do what I came here to do, telling the stories I came here to tell, to reach the people I'm supposed to reach, this was just part of it. It's like a curriculum. Because relationships are absolutely, they are our greatest teachers. My God, was I taught? It goes back to that quote, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And I suppose it will depend on your definition of success, and mine includes lessons. If you learned something, especially as something as monumental as how to love yourself, how to stand up for yourself, how to trust your intuition, your body, how to hear your own voice, how to follow your own dreams and fulfill your own needs, how then can that be a failure? And it's not an easy thing to go through. A divorce is like a death. You're grieving not only this other person, but you're grieving a whole life you had built and thought that you would have until, you know, forever. And we don't talk about what happens after divorce nearly enough, nor do we talk about the process of how one even arrives at that decision in the first place, the whole how do you know if it's right for you piece of it. And there's no answer for that. You can Google all you want, like I did. But it's not something you're going to find in a book, on a podcast, from someone else's opinion. Sure, all of that might help you find clarity. I definitely hope it does. But you are the only one in this world who can answer that question. And it'll be different for everyone. Because this is it. This is it. It's your life. You have to be the one to live it. Is the way it is currently, is that fulfilling you? Here's a big question. If it continues on as it is now, as it exists, can you be okay with that? Because if there's even some small part of you whispering otherwise, I would recommend sitting with that and tuning into it because it has something to tell you. So there used to be this lawyer's office downtown here where I live that had a 1-800-DIVORCE in all caps as their sign. It was either an awning or it was on the window. I don't quite remember. But if you live in Chattanooga, you probably know the business I'm talking about. It was a kind of Chattanooga icon and a little bit of a joke. This place advertising cheap divorces. Anyway, I remember walking past that sign so many times and thinking nothing of it. And then when things began to get rocky in my marriage, suddenly I was able to see that sign, like really see it, you know, to take notice of it. And it was suddenly in my field of vision, my energetic field. It was a thing. And I remember walking past it so many times thinking how it just wasn't an option. I couldn't get divorced. I'd taken vows. I owned a home with this person. We had a kid. Our lives were so entwined. I didn't know where he ended and I began. How could I possibly start over? And I laugh at this now because I'm still so young. People start over at all kinds of ages, much older than their 30s. Age really has nothing to do with it, but our ego loves to play tricks and put limits on things, like love or marriage or career aspirations. So let's just cut the bullshit real quick. If you're listening to this, it is never too late to start. It is never too late to have the love you've always dreamed of or the career you've always dreamed of, to have the family or the life or whatever. You just have to be brave enough to give yourself that gift of allowing yourself to have it. Get the fuck out of your own way. That was so hard for me to do. I know that that's a big ask for a lot of people. And half the time we don't even realize we're doing it, that we are the ones hindering our own selves. That's the challenge. That's the one thing stopping us a lot of the time. We don't even try. Or we tell ourselves 25,000 reasons why we can't do something when all it takes is one good reason, one solid reason to just do it because we desire it. There's a resonance and a call to it. I had a million reasons to not get divorced and only one to go through with it. Because I knew if I didn't, I was ultimately martyring myself, would continue to sacrifice myself, my happiness, my dreams, my desires, my wants, my destiny, keep going on and on and on. Honestly, all because I was just afraid of the what if, of taking such a huge risk, not knowing what was on the other side. And that's the thing, right? We hate that not knowing. So we stay in what's known, even if inside it's destroying us. At the time, marriage felt more like an obligation and a culmination of societal pressure and what many other young women in the 2010s were sold from wedding culture at the time. Things like Say Yes to the Dress, etc., all those reality shows. We were sold a party, not a marriage. It was everywhere, and all of my friends were getting married, and they got to have this amazing day where they were treated like a princess, and they felt beautiful, and they looked beautiful, and weddings just got so blown up during that time. There was so much emphasis on the wedding part. No one was talking really about, like, the marriage portion. We weren't really seeing that on, you know, in media and on TV. Everyone was also, I feel like back then, like trying to one-up everyone else. And on some level, I didn't feel like I had a choice, especially the further into the planning I got, trying to please multitudes of people. I had a Jewish ceremony, not because I truly wanted to, but because I felt pressure from my mom to make her happy. Imagine that. Designing parts of your own wedding day to please someone else, which really was just setting the scene for what was to come. Designing my life, my future, to please someone else and be who someone else thought I was, to mold myself in the image I thought my ex wanted rather than who I sensed inside I was destined to become. But the further into that planning that I went, the more stressed I became, and I began heavily doubting everything, but of course ignored my intuition because I was the last person I would trust to make major decisions after years of outsourcing myself to everyone else and believing they knew better for my life than I did. It never felt completely right, but I told myself a lie and I went through with it anyway. And it ended in 1-800-DIVORCE. Well, I mean, I didn't use that lawyer. My lawyer actually came through a divinely orchestrated series of synchronistic events in which I was given a personal recommendation from a trusted friend. And a couple months into that process, after I hired my lawyer, I realized a book my then toddler-aged daughter had picked from this random bookstore in Nowheresville, Tennessee, that we'd had this book for months, and I just never actually picked it up. But I noticed when we finally sat down to read it that it had the exact same name, first and last, as my lawyer there on the dedication page. But that's the thing. If you're willing to see the signs, they've been there all along. I needed multiple signs and a whole lot of outside guidance from some very special people in order to come to this earth-shaking decision. It was time to leave. But those people are out there. You have people that will support your decision if you choose to change the trajectory of your life. And you're going to need a support system. But even if you don't, I think that's why books like Eat, Pray, Love and Untamed and podcast episodes openly and vulnerably talking about this stuff at length are so important, because it lets others know the simplest truth there is that can be the hardest to accept. There is more out there, and it gets better. I have a post-it note on my computer at work, and it says, risk good to become great. And I want to throw that out as advice, as a reminder here, just as much for yourself, for you, as I do have it front and center for me on my computer. It reminds me why I did what I did, why I do what I do, because I don't want something that's just good enough. I didn't want a good love or a good relationship or a good life. I'm an all-in kind of person. I wanted a great love, a great relationship, a great life. Maybe one day a great marriage again. I'm not completely jaded. And I hope that if you're going through divorce, about to go through a divorce, or contemplating a divorce, that you never lose hope either. That things can get better. That you absolutely can have the kind of love you desire. That it even exists in the first place. I'm very much still full of hope. I don't want a life that feels good enough. I want a great one. And there will come times when you have the good thing, the stable, comfortable, and known thing. Maybe you have a good partner. But are they the right partner? Because, you know, we change so much, especially if you were like me and got married in your 20s or even younger. And we change so much as we age. Sometimes our partners don't grow with us. Sometimes they are just there for a period of our lives to get us to the next thing, you know? I very much feel like that about my marriage. I couldn't meet the person I'm with now. I couldn't have the mind-blowing relationship I now find myself in without having learned the lessons I learned in the marriage, without having grown in that way. I choose to believe that one thing leads to the next, that things happen for a reason, that we feel the way we do, and that we have these intuitive nudges about when it's time to go, that's our truth, because that's our truth. It's trying to lead us to our own greatness. There will be so many good things in your life, things that logically may try to convince you are worth staying for, but the mind can only take you so far, because things like this, love, what you desire out of life and a relationship, you can't make those decisions from the mind. Really, if we're talking about human design here, look that up to see how your energetic blueprint says you have to make decisions. What is correct for you anyway? Human design and astrology actually helped me immensely along my journey, because they're just more tools in our kit that let us know ourselves. And even if you don't believe in human design or astrology, whatever, like, that's totally fine. But the thing is, we have all of these different tools to discover more about ourselves. That's all I'm saying. But I mean, things like this, they have to come from the heart. Like I said before, you might have a laundry list of reasons why you feel you need to stay in the relationship, where things have been slowly dying for a while, but you only need that one strong reason to go, because you know it's the right decision for you and you want to seek out your own greatness deep in your heart, in your soul. Because the what if of what else is out there for you on your next leg of your personal journey might eat you alive if you didn't see where it leads. You don't need permission from anyone to leave. You don't need anyone else's opinion or input telling you what to do. And I said this in my last episode on this as well, that even this, if what I'm saying doesn't resonate, don't listen to me. I am no authority on you. I don't know you or your story. I certainly don't know your situation. I can only speak from personal experiences and convey what I have learned, what I believe, what helped me make this monumental decision. I think stories like this absolutely help one way or another, because you might hear all of this and be like, well, I've been married for 30 plus years. You were only married for 7. What the hell do you know? And yeah, you would be right. It's apples and oranges in that respect, because I imagine it's infinitely harder to exit a marriage when that person has basically been all you've known for the majority of your life, when you've been married and together for that long. But you know who else you've been with your entire life? You. You have you for the rest of your life. Can you honestly say you know who that is? Do you like who that is right now as you are in this situation, in this relationship? Is your current situation what you envisioned when you first got married? How much longer do you want to keep trying to make it work? Ask yourself this. If things continue as they are right now, they stay just like this until death do you part. Can you live with that? Because you have you for the rest of your life. Or do you want to give yourself more? And maybe you're okay with good enough, or with the way things are currently for you. And that is perfectly fine. Like I said, I don't know your life. It's your life, not mine. I just know for me, how I knew it was time was because, and I Googled this so many times, like, how do you know when you should get a divorce? Signs you should know, you know, signs to look for when you think you might want to get a divorce, or, you know, things in that vein. And I knew it was time when I had this strange sense inside that wouldn't go away. It kept coming back, that I wasn't where I was supposed to be. And I actually had this thought one night. I remember my ex and I went to an Airbnb. We were on like a romantic weekend, trying to make it romantic, trying to kind of like rekindle things. And there was a moment, and I heard this in my head when we were sitting together, and I heard, you're supposed to be here with someone else. I heard that in my head and I was like, what the fuck? And this was when I had kind of been having inklings and nudges already and just kept pushing it down because I didn't want to look at that. I didn't want to believe there was any other kind of future at the time, because I didn't give myself the chance to just explore it, not having to make a decision about it, but just letting that, sitting with that, and just kind of playing that what if game and asking some really deep and hard questions of myself. I had the sense that there was this whole other part of my life coming, still yet to be experienced. And those thoughts wouldn't leave me alone. Those are the ones you got to pay attention to, the ones that keep coming back. and I made a choice to pursue that. I also didn't want to keep repeating, this was a big one, I didn't want to keep repeating a pattern of martyrdom for my daughter, modeling that my own happiness and wants didn't matter, and have her inevitably fall into that same people-pleasing trap one day, to date the same kind of men, to fear life itself and be afraid to take risks and chances and waste her life on crumbs of good when it could become banquets of great. I wanted more for her, so that had to start with me. I wanted more for myself. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, playing flashlight tag with my past, spotlighting moments in which I was deeply lost, and yet I let that continue to just be the way things were. I mean, I tried to change things and make them better. I tried so hard. I tried so many things. But there comes a point in a relationship, a marriage specifically, where you pass that point of no return, knowing things won't change, or you just get so tired. You just stop trying and you become a shell of yourself. And it's there, in the trenches, where you have a choice. Start making yourself a priority or accept the way things are. Okay, I mean, can things change? Maybe. Really, only you can answer that question. But if you're considering divorce, you've probably already tried many things with little to no success, and it's starting to eat away at you. Now that I'm 2 years divorced and have done so much already since then, God, I feel like I'm finally truly living my life. Getting divorced was a blessing, a gift. It granted me the time I needed to be on my own to heal, to know what it feels like to be on my own, to live on my own, to stand on my own 2 feet and support myself. I mean, I did that financially. I did that anyway. But I mean, just like literally physically living on my own, I had never done that before. I'd always had roommates or I was in a relationship. My ex even moved in with me before, this was long before we got married. He moved in with me out of necessity, and I wasn't ready. I didn't want him to move in, but I felt like I had to say yes. It's this continually, you know, trying to please other people. And I had to, over years, you know, all of this taught me, like, I had to build trust in myself. I had to cultivate self-compassion. That's a long road. It also gave me what I desire most in this life. Freedom. I started solo traveling for the first time, and I was lit the fuck up by it. I found it empowering to be on my own, to go to dinner alone, to road trip down the coast of Florida by myself, knowing it was just me, myself, and I that I had to rely on. My inspiration and zest for life returned. I started writing, not just poetry, but all kinds of things. I was having ideas. I was feeling motivated. I had time to devote to myself and my well-being and my passions. A huge piece of the puzzle for me was that getting divorced helped me finally regulate my nervous system. Like, truly regulate my nervous system and learn how to emotionally regulate on my own, because in my marriage, it was chaotic. It was so chaotic, and I felt like I was walking on eggshells half of the time. It wasn't safe for me to communicate or share my honest feelings. And half that battle was first learning to be honest with myself. Like, I know a lot of this is on me. I can own up to that. Like, I didn't know how to express myself. I didn't know how to talk about my own feelings. I was fucking terrible at communication. But also a big piece of that was I was terrible at communication because the environment in which I was in didn't foster the safety and the space for that. I was living in a state of anxiety so frequently. I was passive aggressive as fuck, and I was bitter and resentful, and my ex and I argued a lot. I often felt crazy and things got turned around on me, and I was totally crumbling over time. But also, again, like, full responsibility, I had my own shit too. It takes two people here. I was throwing shit on him too, you know, takes two to tango. But that relationship, what I'm saying, it was not easy by any means. And no relationship will be. Well, I don't know. I mean, they could argue that in my current relationship. But I mean, no relationship is without its challenges, whatever those challenges look like. A lot of the times they're kind of like internal challenges. But what I'm in now is just wildly different. Whereas before, we were fighting all the time, and I felt I was bitter, angry, and resentful more of the time than, like, you know, my manifestor signature, like my state of being is supposed to be, my signature is peace. I felt very little peace in that marriage. You know, the further along we went, the deeper we got into it. But also, it had its beautiful moments, of course, but it wasn't fulfilling. and it wasn't emotionally safe, and I didn't feel encouraged, supported, known, or truly appreciated and loved for who I was. I often felt there's like so many aspects of myself I couldn't share, especially when it comes to like my creativity, my art, or that they weren't noticed or encouraged. They were certainly not championed, like the relationship I'm in now. And choosing to leave, it gave that to me. I embraced myself for the first time and discovered all of these other things about myself that I didn't know were there. Like, what an incredible gift that is. Leaving has got me here. Pursuing my passions and authentically sharing and seeking out adventure, becoming someone who wants to suck the juice out of life and say yes to things that scare her, because I truly, honest to God, believe in and trust myself. It was like that scene from Oz where everything goes from black and white to technicolor. That's what it felt like, turning the color back on. It was exhaling and laughing again and crying from beauty and gratitude rather than pain and stress. It was a light in the dark showing me the way out. It was fireflies coming alive at night. I mean, eventually, because the divorce process and the grieving process, neither of those are easy. It's really, really fucking hard shit to do, but it was infinitely worth it. My God, was it infinitely worth it. I have no regrets whatsoever. My divorce granted me the confidence that I always wanted, and I'm building on that every single day. And it helped me discover what I truly wanted in life and in love, because of that, I was able to recognize real love when it came my way. And I mean, I didn't know it at the time when I met Jake. I literally jumped on Bumble wanting to date and have fun, and I wasn't looking for anything serious. But of course, that is the magic. And because I know enough now, I can create a healthy relationship and a healthy life, because I've experienced a very unhealthy one. And I've learned these lessons, and then I can take what I have learned from that marriage, from that relationship, and do things differently in the relationship that I'm in now. That's the beauty and pain and lessons, the learning and wisdom that we gain so that we can take that knowledge and integrate it into the future to not make the same mistakes. You want different results? You got to act differently. You got to think differently. You got to believe differently and make different choices. What we don't want shows us clearly what we do. And the absolute magic of saying no is that it leads us to those things. I found the strength within me to finally do it. And I didn't ask for a divorce. I never needed permission. Nobody does. I informed him of the divorce, that I had made a decision and I was going through with it. And that was the beginning. My God, was that the beginning? If you can't hear it in my voice, I am so passionate about this because I know what is possible. And I want to clearly convey that divorce can be the absolute best thing that happens to you if you decide to use it to your advantage and let it empower you and lead you to your greatness, rather than buy into some story about becoming a lonely, sad divorcee. No, unsubscribe from that real quick. Let it lead you to the one that you've always wanted to be in, to the love you've always wanted, to have a richer life. Don't be so afraid to start over just because you don't know what's on the other side. It's like being afraid of your own shadow. And I mean that in so many metaphorical ways, but that's all it is. It seems dark and scary because of the not knowing, because you're unwilling to look at it from a different perspective and see it for all its what ifs and could be's. What if you leave and where it takes you is somewhere beautiful and you truly step into something amazing? What if things get better? What if what comes next is so wildly wonderful, you'll look back one day just as I and say, damn, I am so proud of myself for doing that and for believing in myself and choosing myself and wanting more for myself. Don't be afraid to start over. You will be happy again and you will find love when the time is right. If you've already made the decision and are in the thick of your own healing, I do want to suggest that you not jump back into dating right away. You have to give yourself time to heal and figure your shit out. Otherwise, it's real easy to backslide and get sucked into that trap again of needing someone else around all the time to make you feel better and validate you and all of this. And there's so much you will learn in your forthcoming relationships when you finally do jump back into dating. When I started dating again after divorce, so many of my friends were spouting these stories about how it was terrible out in the dating world and that there were no good men out there. But that was not my experience at all. And this is why you need to get right on your perspective and what you believe to be true, because the world is just going to reflect that back to you. I actually didn't even date that long, honestly. I always wanted to, though, to experience dating because I never really had that. Not really. I dated here and there freshman year of college, and then I met my ex. So after I'd taken about a year to heal on my own of being single, I jumped on Bumble and went on 3 dates with 3 different guys. All of them were wonderful. I narrowed it down to 2 pretty quick, but honestly, I always knew it was Jake. I think some part of me always knew that. I was inexplicably drawn to him since day one, and that's just what I believe, that we're meant to meet certain people, meant to be with certain people. And like my marriage, sometimes those people are only here for a portion of our lives because they help us level up enough to get to the next person, the one that feels so right. I saw a reel on Instagram the other day that really struck me, and it said, "You're not healing to handle your trauma. You're healing to handle your joy." How profound is that? The idea that we're not trying to just survive, to go through life bearing this weight of trauma and learning how to deal with that. We're learning to look at that, integrate it, and release it so that we can have all of these amazing, incredible things that we want. The love, the relationship, the life. It's so interesting to me how the right people can just so easily open you up to things. Like with dating, I had always thought I wanted to date for a while to play the field, I guess, have experiences, have fun, you know. But it was like the more I saw of Jake, the less I wanted to see of anyone else. And then I fell in love. And then I kept falling in love. I'm continually falling more and more in love every single day. And this whole time I've been like, wait, what? This is what love is? Feeling this safe with someone? Crying because I am so beautifully overwhelmed with gratitude and affection? It's incredible. Whereas in the marriage, over time, that just really deteriorated. You know, I guess in the beginning, I was in love, or what I had defined love at the time. And over time, that just declined. And I feel like this relationship is the complete opposite. Obviously, we were not in love when we met. Like, we were in that honeymoon phase, that really phase of a relationship that's so exciting and gives you butterflies. And the amazing part, the magical part to me about this is that has only grown. I've fallen deeper in love, and I still get butterflies when I see this man. I get nervous and excited 2 years later. And I know that that just deepens because of these lessons that I'm able to integrate, and we've been able to build this beautiful thing. It's incredible. It truly feels like magic. And this isn't me speaking from a honeymoon phase. This is me having been with this man, like I said, for 2 years, having had some major personal challenges in that relationship. But I don't mean argumentative conflict. I mean internal shifts and healing from triggers that have come up. And I've had to sit with that and look at that and like work through that together, honestly. He has been pivotal to my healing and growth in this next phase. Because there is only so much healing you can do on your own. Because some wounds, they can only be healed within the container of a safe and mature romantic relationship. The amount of times I cry after sex now is uncanny, and it's beautiful. And what's even more amazing is the space this man holds for me when I do. The first time I cried, it happened automatic. And crying is a big release, and intimacy is a powerful way to heal. I just started weeping because I was so overcome with emotion. Half the times I didn't even really know why I was crying. It was just a visceral reaction. And he just held me. He didn't have to say anything, didn't try to fix it, just held me. And what was so profoundly beautiful and healing about that for me was just that. Being held in that way, feeling that safe in an incredibly vulnerable and poignant and powerful moment, and beginning to rewrite my own definitions and experiences of past sexual experiences. It's what I wished I had in my marriage back then, that intimacy, that closeness and safety. I was always crying alone in my marriage. Now when I cry, I am held. I can ask for what I want and what I need. I'm acknowledged. I am witnessed. All of that could be its own podcast episode, what it's like to be even like be with someone like that. And the funny part about that is, it's not going to be a podcast episode. It's going to be a book. Early on, before I even fell in love with Jake, I had a random thought pop out of nowhere in my head. Like, this is nothing new for me. I am always having thoughts pop into my head. And I know when they're like voices that are, well, saying it like that sounds kind of creepy. They're never bad voices. Not anymore. I've alchemized the bitch in my head. But now they're just like messages, basically. So early on, before I fell in love, I had this thought when I was like beginning to fall deeper into the relationship. And this thought, I said, damn, I could write a book about you, man. Exactly like that, word for word. And I was already writing so many poems about him. And as I kept doing that, they grew into a book. They're still growing into a book. I don't know the ending, but suffice to say that book, like the rest of mine, is a testament to a value, a virtue. My first book was dedicated to self-love and healing. My second, to hope. This one about my relationship, it is without a doubt a huge, shining, golden temple built to honor love and its many lessons. And that's why I wanted to say all of this. To remind you that real love isn't just fairy tale shit. I used to think it was. I used to think it was bullshit, honestly. That movie level romance, that like Notebook couple, stuff like that was total fiction. I thought it was, but it's not. I am living it, and I know other women who are living it too. Because we chose to believe first in something beautiful, ourselves. And then we found it in another when the time was right. We're all mirrors, all of us. Make yourself, your inner world, a beautiful place to live, a beautiful thing to love. And that is what you will find externally when the time is right. When you get married, you should have your own idea of what you want that to look like. Not just how everyone else is doing marriage, but how do you want to do marriage? I thought for the longest time there was only one way to do it. You move in with that person, you share a bedroom, you share a bed. Most people share a bank account, though I never did. I was very adamant about keeping our finances separate and splitting everything 50-50. But you have a picture of what you expect from a marriage, right? And make sure that you're on the same page. And the thing is, all of this, I thought that's just the only way to do it, right? This is what everyone's doing. I didn't know people got married and could have separate bedrooms or separate houses even, because that had like a negative connotation, right? I had never heard of the concept of living apart together, LAT, but I think it's a wonderful idea. It won't work for everyone because that's not what everyone wants, and that's totally fine. Well, you know, what is good for the goose isn't always good for the gander or something like that. Everybody has different needs. But what I am saying is that we should be talking, at least talking about these alternatives and presenting them as an option and shifting the narrative, the rhetoric about what it means, so that people know a marriage, a partnership, it isn't black and white. I personally love the idea of LAT because you can maintain your own independence, and there's so many reasons one might choose that. Or even just having your own bedroom. So if you cohabitate, having your own space in a shared home can help you maintain a sense of autonomy in a marriage. Especially if you're someone who already knows you need alone time for your own personal well-being, or if you have a history of codependency. I think it's so healthy to spend some days or some time apart, to have your own space, to have your own things you do just for you. And you can't always do that, or might not feel as comfortable doing them maybe when you share literally everything. Sometimes cohabitating can be very challenging when you have opposite schedules, or you simply like your privacy. Me, for example, so I'm a morning person. So if Jake is sleeping over, I'm not going to be blasting Lizzo at 6 a.m. like I would when I'm by myself getting ready to go to the gym or podcasting even. I like to do that privately. I also like to do some things just for me, like doing yoga in lingerie with 50 candles going or dancing around my house naked. And I might honestly feel maybe a little self-conscious if I lived with someone and wanted to do those things. Then again, some people feel like they need to live with someone else, or they prefer it. And there might come a time, I mean, I know later there will come a time where I will want to live with someone again. But for me personally, learning about LAT and considering that as an option has felt very affirming to me, to just know there are other options out there. Will I ever get married again? I don't know. I'm still mulling over that word because doing it all over again can feel intimidating. But like I said, I'm very hopeful. And I still believe in the concept. I think it's beautiful, a beautiful tradition, like when it's done for the right reasons with the right person in the name of love. And there's something to me that is still sacred about being a wife. Am I going to make it my entire life and my entire identity? Absolutely fucking no. No, no, no. But I still think there are some beautiful things about that. And I'm not there yet, but I feel like I'm moving closer to the idea. But I do know that if I do, I know it's going to be radically different than what I had before. This is another wonderful part about telling stories like this, about being vulnerable and open and sharing. about relationships, about where you've been, what you want, what you believe, not only does it instill hope within us, but it exposes us to new ideas and options. There is no one-size-fits-all relationship. Mine, for example, we have very opposite schedules, so finding time to spend together can be challenging. And initially, I didn't like that because I was so conditioned from living with someone and from growing up just thinking that when you're in a relationship, especially a marriage, that's all you do. You're just together all the time. I didn't know like just how to be okay spending time by myself. But now I see that us not seeing each other all the time is our own kind of powerful magic. I tell Jake, we are birthday cake. We don't get each other all the time because of schedules and jobs and life. But also I emphasize this, we are birthday cake. So when we do get to see each other, it's a celebration. And it makes me appreciate and be grateful for our time together that much more. Having time apart helps us maintain our independence and sense of individuality, but it also gives us time to be in our own energy and do our own things. And the real magic here is a poem I wrote on this very thing titled Tu M'aimes. It gives us time to miss each other. So when we do spend time together, we are magnetic. It feels that much more nourishing and special and incredible. And I never would have discovered that was even something I needed, time apart, had I never got divorced. I never would have discovered any of what I truly needed, emotional safety, someone to champion and encourage me, especially in my artistic and creative pursuits, someone who loves listening to me read poetry, someone who loves surprises and wacky and crazy and weird things as much as I do, someone who marvels at my many wild sequined and glittered outfits or my tight and revealing ones, someone who loves that I solo travel and have adventures on my own, someone who not only embraces me wholly as a very outspoken and passionate, strong and independent woman, but who wholeheartedly supports that rather than feels threatened by it. This is all to say that this is possible. All of it is possible. What you want is not only possible, but it exists. A safe, fulfilling, passionate, supportive, romantic, swoon-worthy relationship exists, but you have to allow yourself to have it. If that is something you want, you have to get out of your own way. We are our greatest obstacles sometimes because damn is it scary. The not knowing when or how you'll find it. Just please, don't question the if you will find it. Take that off the table. Believe that you can and will. You can manifest it like I did. I wrote out a list early on of the values and traits I wanted in a man. And more importantly, this is really where you need to hone in and put your focus. How I wanted to feel in that relationship. And I made a super specific list, right down to what kind of coffee this person preferred, hazelnut. And you know what I got? Exactly that. A deeply kind and thoughtful, tall, dark, and handsome Aquarian who was doing the inner work on himself, committed to his own growth and healing, and yep, drinks hazelnut coffee. But we'll save those stories for a future book, perhaps. Y'all don't even know the half of what I've seen in my head. But I believe that it's not only possible, but entirely probable. And I never would have known that, seen that, felt that, had I stayed stuck in my marriage, accepting good enough when I wanted great. I traded misery for magic, and look what happened. You can have that too, if that's what you want. Because you deserve it. A big love, a big life, big, big happiness. Don't let fear hold you back from that. If you want different results, different things in your life, you have to make different decisions. Make big shifts by behaving differently, making different choices, acting differently, believing different things. Don't be so paralyzed by fear of being alone because you won't be. Start there. Change the very language, the story you're telling yourself. You are never alone. But you will be on your own. Do you hear the difference? That's a powerful shift right there. Saying and believing, I'm not alone. I'm just on my own. Alone has a bit of a negative connotation, right? Saying you're on your own, though, that's empowering. That is the simplest thing we can do when we're in these hard spaces. Just change the language. Tell yourself new stories. Be intentional about how you speak to yourself. Choose to believe new things. Envision your big, beautiful what-if world of a life on your own When you're chasing your dreams and becoming who you want to be, finding someone who is so much more aligned for you, that wants to celebrate all of your wins and loves you wholly for who you are. Wait for the love that speaks. I hope you found something helpful in this episode, because that is always my intention. I came at this episode from the angle of, you know, what did I need to hear back then? What do I wish I had heard back then? I think what I needed most was hope. Hope that a better future was out there, and that love was possible, real, honest, profound. And not only that, but also happiness and fulfillment, purpose and passion, deep connection, healing, that those were out there and available for me. Connection to self, to others, to feel connected to the world, and to be able to attain a much more peaceful state of being day to day, to not have to live my life on landmines, and to be able to effectively communicate, to share my feelings and my heart in a safe space, to not be gaslit or made to feel like Taylor Swift's lyrics of always being the problem. Even now, communicating with my ex is tumultuous at times and can have a tendency to still rattle my nervous system and to trigger me. And not a day goes by that I'm not grateful for the monumentally difficult decisions I had to make back then to leave all of that behind. Granted, we co-parent, so it's going to be a lifelong, you know, more learning and more lessons. But even that, I can spin it. I can spin it to my benefit. It was sad and it was hard, and I grieved a life I thought I was going to have. But what I got was so much better. So if you remember nothing else from this episode, hold on to that. It gets better. I needed to hear divorce success stories. I needed encouragement and support from people who had gone through it, who had been in the trenches and struggled against the current to make that life-changing decision. I needed reassurance to know that things could just get better and that it would be okay, that I wasn't going to end up alone, depressed, worse off than how I felt in the marriage. That's what my whole first poetry book was about, healing through a divorce, cultivating self-love, believing in the very possibility of a brighter you. So if you want more poetic words on this, feel free to check that out. It's called Pressed Petals. It's on Amazon and pretty much wherever books are sold online. And if you're local to Chattanooga, it's at Winder Binder, the bookstore in North Shore, Culture Coffee, and Flowers on Saturn. And I wrote it in 2021 and 2022. So the writing style is very different from how I write now. I wasn't nearly as verbose in my poems back then. Was still tinkering with this throat, but such is growth, right? We only see our progress in hindsight. And honestly, divorce is no different. So too is that a huge opportunity if that becomes your path. The Press Petals is a very special book, near and dear to me, because it preserves that part of my life. And I think it'll find whoever it needs to find. And I hope it helps them in the same way it helped me as I was writing it, to believe in something better and brighter and more beautiful. A new life, a better me, a more complete me. Not because I needed someone else to get there to complete me, to feel whole, but because I needed to find those pieces within myself first. I needed to hear divorce not as a failed marriage, but as told from the perspective of success. And I asked a couple of my friends who had also been through divorce what their thoughts were, because everyone has different reasons for doing it, right? Everyone has their own experience. Each woman had a completely different scenario for why they left. Some were cheated on, some were in emotionally abusive relationships, etc. And I'm sure I'll have some of these women on in the future to share those stories, but I wanted to include some brief commentary when I asked them their thoughts and what they learned. And one friend said, quote, "Although the D word may be taboo for some, ultimately I view divorce as a chance to start over and write a new chapter. A sometimes scary, stressful, and trying chapter, but it's your chapter to write and no one else's. The biggest lesson that I learned is that life goes on. I think back on my darkest moments, the times where I didn't even think I had the strength to make it through the day, let alone the next year, and I am so proud of how far I have come. It's not easy and it takes hard work. Even to this day, I am focused on my growth journey and continuing down a positive path. Years later, I am still in therapy battling the trauma of my past, but I did it and I will keep doing it, and you can do it too." End quote. Another friend said, quote, "I think for me, the biggest thing is spending time in deep self-reflection before making a decision. It shouldn't feel like a knee-jerk reaction. I think it also really taught me the importance of communication in a relationship, how so often we have conversations and both parties leave them with completely different ideas of how it went, end quote. Eventually, the brightness in my own life got turned way up. The person I have in my life now feels like a true soul connection, someone who felt strangely familiar from day one and who instantly invokes peace and an indescribable kind of love that I proclaim of loudly and often in my poetry. It is such a well of inspiration there. A relationship I am so beyond excited about, and that has changed so much of my views on things. You know, I never liked PDA or even cuddling before in my marriage, but now I can't get enough. I will stand on a street corner and hug for a solid 10 minutes in the rain. And actually, we did that one day and someone walked by. They walked by and said aloud, "Wow, now that's love." And I mail him postcards when I travel. I hand make him a Valentine every year. I love making him coffee and breakfast in the morning, and I love when he cooks me dinner while I watch. I write him 7-page love letters. We can sit in complete silence and it's never once awkward. We laugh at the dumbest things and adore each other's quirks. But that's just us. It's beautiful and it's sacred and it's unlike anything I've ever experienced. I express my love in 1,000 ways and can be the real me, say what I feel and think, because I know it is safe to do that. That's what women really crave, what we really, really want. Emotional connection, vulnerability, and safety. I'm grateful for my divorce because it's leading to my destiny. It's been a big piece of my journey that has helped me grow from someone who is terrified to live, afraid to love and be myself, afraid to be vulnerable and share, afraid to speak up, to speak at all, to someone who wants to do it for a living, to someone who now believes that's even a possibility. It allowed me to turn my greatest pain into passionate purpose. But even that, our darkness, our hardships, the grief and trauma, it's never our whole story. It's just a part of it. It's a portal. It leads somewhere if we choose to learn from it. I've made it into an empowering and positive story because I now have the honor of recounting my personal experiences to others with the intention of helping them, even if it's just a tiny bit. If I have even helped just one of you, connected with you on something, said something here that resonated in some way, offered even a glimmer of hope through this Godzilla of an episode, that's a success. That fuels me further on this journey, just to know that you too can have this. You deserve happiness. Know that. You deserve a more purposeful and magical life with someone who can mirror that back to you because it's already within you. Something better is out there, but it requires bravery of you. It doesn't come cheap, and it certainly doesn't come quick or easy, but it is so, so worth it. My God. This other side you can't yet see, but you can sense it, can't you? You're at least curious about it because you've made it this far into an episode about it. And curiosity is a door. Maybe you want to see where this particular one leads. Maybe you don't. But you come first, so you get to choose. You choose that and whatever that looks like with where you're at. But choose yourself. Choose beautiful. Choose healing. Don't settle for only intermittent magic when it can become your life. And if you still don't believe me, just wait. I have big plans to show you in great detail everything of mine. Things they failed to mention about divorce. 1. The subtle sting of that statement on intake forms reading, "Please list your emergency contact." 2. Procrastination arriving in the form of cleaning the house for the 5th time instead of plucking wedding photos off the wall. 3. The agony of waiting in this weird hibernation period in between who you were and who you will become. 4. Extra trips to the grocery store because your mind is too preoccupied by the past to remember milk and eggs. 5. Late night glasses of wine to coax the words out from hiding because you can't face the truth without the 3rd glass of liquid courage. 6. Distractions in the form of extra scheduled events, playdates, and workouts to cover up the thoughts that rot in the box with his things you still haven't cleaned out. 7. Baths and a quiet house. On the nights your kid isn't home and yet the peace you so hungrily craved before now feels starving somehow. 8. Popping the first seam on a heart you stitched closed long ago before everything fell apart. 9. Letting the quiet fill all your hollow parts and sitting with it. 10. Acknowledging your pain and making friends with all the ghosts in your bed. 11. Changing your entire name and seeing your power reflected back to you in inky letters on those same intake forms you used to hate. 12. Packing up the photos but letting the memories stay. 13. Reading the 8.0 version of you that knows how to let the world pour out of her in words instead of bearing that weight on her shoulders. 14. Saving money on groceries. 15. A glass of red poured between friends over rich conversation and the support that feels like intoxication one sip in. 16. Unpacking the box of his memories you shoved in the back of the attic of your mind and appreciating them for what they were. Beautiful things that live on forever in a moment of time. 17. Long baths while your favorite movie, the one he never wanted to watch together, plays in the background. 18. Realizing your first marriage was really just a rough draft of what you were always meant to have. 19. Gifts that finally arrive from back order. Strength, resilience, independence, confidence, and self-love. 20. Owning your narrative and penning your whole story and your own perspective, shaded in the indescribable color of new beginnings.